We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 13. I preached this several years ago, and for those of you here, you're going to be glad you're here today. I preached all 31 verses at one time that previous time I preached that, so I'm going to split this up into two messages this week and next week, the Lord willing. But hopefully, as we're preparing for our Acts Ministry Fair, we've been preaching through about Acts Ministry as a church and how it's different. We don't have nominating teams. We encourage you to find out what your spiritual gift or gifts are, and we try to help you with that, to facilitate some opportunities for that, that you can then begin to take that gift or gifts and begin to use it as the Lord saved you and called you to serve him and to worship him, to proclaim his name, to then fulfill the following, the come follow me, as he said, to go, be about the Father's business and serving him in some way within a ministry within this church. As Debbie was talking about earlier, it's encouraging to see all the different ministries that we have. You know, it's hard to keep up with just what all is going on any particular day, because there's one ministry or another that is meeting and serving and helping in some way to live out the gospel and to proclaim the gospel here in this community. And that's exciting. But the Lord told us that we're to pray for laborers for the harvest, because there's always a great need, and there's more need a lot of times than there is those that are there available to help. But we need to make ourselves available. As Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, use me." And that with that, we would be able to be used by him to bring glory to him. As we come to our study today in chapter 12, you're very familiar with chapter 11, as Paul described there, the conduct at the Lord's Supper. We'll be having the Lord's Supper next Sunday. And he's moved from how we are to respond to culture on the outside of the church. So now he's getting to some areas that till now in his teaching through Corinthians, he's not really had the opportunity to address. And he's dealing with how we work together, serve together, worship together, and love one another in unity, even though there's great diversity among us with our gifts and our passions and our calling. We're going to be having budget meetings here in just a few weeks here. And when we get in there, it's always whatever ministry someone leads or is involved in, is passionate about. When we talk about budget, it's like there's always that excitement for wanting things to happen in your ministry. But what you have to understand is other people are just as passionate and just as called in those ways in their ministry. We need to lovingly support and encourage one another, because it's one Lord, one faith, and one kingdom. We're not in a competition here with any other churches. We're not in a competition within this church. Is that we're to work together, unified together with one goal, is to bring glory to God. Amen? And so as Paul comes to our study today, the Corinthian church was very carnal. They had gotten very caught up to the sign gifts of the healing, and especially the ones of speaking in tongues as a way of verifying their relationship with the Lord and their commitment to the Lord, and in some ways to make them appear to be an elitist among those who are followers of God. I want to tell you that we're all equal at the foot of the cross. No one is greater in the eyes of the Lord, and no one is more needed in the ministry of the Lord than each and every individual believer that Christ died for and shed his blood equally for each one of us. And so with that, let's begin our study this morning. In verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And so as Paul begins, he wants us to understand that we confess the same Lord. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to acknowledge that first of all. But what he also goes on to say is that no one should be ignorant about the gifts or the gift or gifts that the Holy Spirit has given each of us. Now, I want to tell you, and I love the fact that I'm a Southern Baptist, and I hold to the doctrines of the teaching of the Southern Baptist because I believe it matches up most closely to the Bible. I don't hold that against anyone of any other denomination. But as I look at what's here, though, I want to tell you this. As Southern Baptists, this is an area where we struggle. And we need to be hearing more about this Holy Spirit. We need to be hearing more about the gifts of the Spirit. But we struggle because some people have taken it to extremes, just like those at Corinth, to try to make it more than what it is. Let me just go ahead and tell you, first of all, as we're beginning this, in a nutshell, it's not about you or me or the gift or gifts that we have. It's all about Him. We were given the gifts by the Spirit of God to glorify God. And that's what Paul's going to get to here as we go through our study this morning. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, but he says before you were believers, that when you were Gentiles, and that's what he's referring to, before you were followers of God, you were carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led by whatever demons, whatever evil spirit that you were led by, that you worshiped and followed and came to adhere to the teachings of these dumb idols. And what he's saying is none of those spoke to you. None of those communicated with you because they're just dumb idols. But the Holy Spirit came upon you at the point that you were saved and became a follower of Christ. God himself spoke to you as he drew you to himself. And it may not have been an audible voice that you heard, but through the teaching of God's word, through the sharing of God's word, through the Spirit of God drawing you to himself, is that he revealed himself to you and you were saved because of it. And so he's saying you should be changed. Now he's speaking of those that are carnal, those that are in the flesh, those that are more focused on self. So as I'm speaking today, if you're here today and everything is about you, when you talk about something about ministry, if everything is that it's about you, you need to listen up real closely, because he doesn't need us for anything in ministry. He allows us the privilege of being able to serve him and to worship him as an act of worship in what we do, in using those gifts and being making ourselves available in participating in the kingdom of God and worshiping him and serving him together. And so it's a great privilege we have. It's not that it's about us. But as he says this, he says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And what he's referring to is that he's kind of maybe alluding back to where some of those may have said, oh, I know Jesus before Christ, before they knew Christ. And as a sinner, they were kind of sneering about, yeah, I know who this Jesus is. Some of you may be sitting here today and said, that's me. I remember when I was not a believer, and I remember people trying to share the gospel with me and how maybe sometimes I was either rude or crass in my comments about it. Yeah, I know this Jesus you Christians talk about. This one you've been saying for 2,000 years, he's gone to heaven and one day he's coming back and he's going to take you to be with him. You need to commit your lives to him. And as we said those things, we may have said that in such a way of not in a matter of committing to Christ, but of almost mocking him and those who follow Christ, until God got a hold of our heart and we began to understand that he's real and he is God and he revealed himself to us and drew us to himself. And so Paul is reminding them, first of all, you're no longer lost. You're a part of the family of God. You are believers, professing believers. And so with that, he says that you do not call Jesus a curse as those who are followers of Christ speaking by the Spirit of God. That doesn't happen. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, what he's meaning there is this. No one can truly say Jesus is my Lord except by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and the work of the Spirit in revealing him to us and drawing us to him, and the work of the Father in bringing us to his Son too and calling us to himself, is that no one can call him Lord except for those things to happen. And so but that's available to everyone. The scripture says very clearly, whosoever will believe will be saved. And so with this, Paul's just reminding us, first of all, we worship and call upon the name of the same Lord, and we've been saved by the same Lord. And he moves on in verse 4 to describe too the fact that we depend on the same God. He said, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. As he is describing this here, it's kind of a Trinitarian view that he gives here in these three verses, as he begins to talk about, first of all, the diversity of gifts by the same Spirit, the difference of ministries by the same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the diversities of activities of the same God, God the Father. And so we see he's saying all three are at work, but the Spirit is the one that gives these gifts as he wills to each one of us. And so for that reason, there's no reason to brag about why I speak in tongues or I can heal people, because you don't heal anybody. You know, I think back to when Paul and they were healing, and this one came up to him and he wanted to see if he could purchase that gift of healing. And he's like, you can't purchase this. It's from God. It's not me doing this. God's doing this. You know, and so when you see these folks on TV and they're professing to heal people, man heals no one. Only the God man heals anyone. And so with that, we need to be reminded that all healing comes from the Lord. But this diversity of gifts, we don't all receive the same gift or gifts. And I'll talk more about those here in just a little bit and next week. But as we're looking at this, it says these diverse gifts, but the same Spirit. And the differences of ministries, as I was indicating earlier, a lot of times we have a calling or a gifting or a passion, and we work in different areas in the church or in ministry as a whole. But that doesn't mean that we're not worshiping the same God and we're not teaching about the same God. We're doing just that. There should never be any difference in that. But the ministries that we do or involved in are different because of the calling the Lord's placed upon our lives. But also, he says there are diversities of activities. And there he's talking about work. Now, I know in Baptist churches, we like to do a lot of programs. If somebody starts a new program in Florida, California, or New York, count on it. It'll work its way through. It might take 20 years to get to smaller churches all throughout the South. But if it worked for them, it's got to work for us, right? That old prayer Jabez stuff. Let me just tell you, that worked for Jabez, but I don't hold to that it works everywhere the same, because every church is different and everyone's called to different things. What we need to do is stick to what the Word of God says, that we're to be doing the calling of God. The Spirit of God is leading us to do for the vision he's given us to reach the people here in our Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. How we go about that may be different than the way other churches do it, but we do it in worship of the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Our ministries that we perform and do in our community may be different from other churches. But just like in this church, each of us we're going to hear about are gifted and a little bit different in parts of the body and how we are the hands or the feet or the eyes or whatever it may be, and all are needed. It's the same way with all the churches within the community, because we don't all need to be doing the same thing. And so with that, he's saying there's great diversities in all these things we do, from the gifts we receive, the ministries we do, and the work that we do is different as well. And I want to tell you, as Debbie was recognizing, everything that's done from cleaning this building and buildings, which is a great chore, all the way to preaching the word, teaching the word, proclaiming the word, all those are important and necessary within the body of Christ. Nothing is too small. As a matter of fact, as I was reading this week and I was trying to find some type of illustration, I was reading about a gentleman that had a computer and it broke down. He's obviously around my age or older, because he remembers when, you know, and some of you that are younger, you can go on Google and look, and it talks about some of the first computers, and they'd fill up maybe the size of this room, you know, and that was considered, that was the best, right? Well, it used to be that bigger is better attitude. Now, smaller is better when it comes to computers. You know, it's nice that you can have a mobile. The sad part is they're so mobile, you can put them in your pocket a lot of times now, and they're smarter than we are. But you know, the thing about it is he was saying that a small part broke on his computer. And the technician, when he found it and he found out what was wrong, he kind of made a drawing of it. So this is what the part looks like. And he said, and it's about this big, which is smaller than a dime. And he said, how much will it cost to fix it? And he told him, and he said, man, that's more than I paid for the whole computer. He said, is that little part really worth that much? And he says, yes, because the computer can't operate and work and function properly without that part. And that's a reminder to us that as Paul's describing these gifts and telling about the gifts that the Spirit gives here, every single gift used by every member of the body is important. And let me just say, too, every single gift that the Holy Spirit gives that is not used by the body to edify and lift up the body because you're not obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill that call and to use that gift, it harms the body. And so that's why churches are so unhealthy, is because we have a lot of folks that have gifts from the Spirit of God that are not committing themselves, not being a part of the Lord of the harvest. They're not being workers in the harvest. And because of that, as Teresa said earlier, we're missing out on the blessings. And I want to tell you, if you're not involved, you're the one that's missing out on the blessing. Because it's amazing when you get engaged, how you draw closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ. That helps bring unity among even the diversity. Every one of us are a little bit different in our personalities and the way that we look and all that, but we are created equally in the eyes of God. And we're created in the image of God. And so as Paul is challenging us here today, he is telling us that that every one of us are different, but yet with that, all things about our confession, our dependency upon the Lord, go back to the fact that we minister to the same body. Beginning in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. You know, as we look at these different ones that are listed here, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 12, there are a couple other lists. They're not all exactly the same. It's not anything where it's something's wrong or something's left out. Paul wasn't trying to provide a full list because Paul's a man. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, but he is not the Holy Spirit and he's not God. And so he names about 19 different gifts that are recognized or were recognized at that time, and there could be more. And let me just say, too, is just like that message I spoke on a couple weeks ago about being faithful with the talents that we've been given. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Is most of the time you get one gift, maybe two. But as you're faithful in using those gifts and faithful in commitment to the Lord and faithfulness in serving the Lord and worshiping him and proclaiming the message of the Lord, how it's amazing over time and faithfulness and commitment, the Holy Spirit gives other gifts and he changes even some of the direction of where your focus and your passion is from what it was to what it is now. We did a spiritual gifts analysis when I was at Forestville, the first time I'd ever done that. And I can remember that it talked about having compassion and faith and different things that showed up. But teaching and preaching and prophecy and none of those things, nothing showed up on that as far as even a hint. But after becoming a Sunday school teacher for seventh grade boys and then teaching adults and beginning to help lead small groups and occasionally filling in, preaching the word here and there, went back, it was about 10 or 15 years later, and it was amazing how it had changed. I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about coming here and as a possibility of serving somewhere in a church, and a pastor was saying, you just need to go preach somewhere. You need to be a pastor. And I was like, Lord, don't put that on me. I don't want to be a pastor. I'd pray when the Lord was dealing with us, Lord, don't send us to Africa and plant one church to be there 30 years and come home and show them old slide reels that you see all the time, but, you know, bore people to death. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do something to bring glory to God. And, you know, when he started talking about being a pastor, I was like, you know what? That's one of the hardest jobs there is. You speak to some of the same people week in and week out, and you know a lot of the problems that are going on in their lives, and you know things that are happening, whether they've shared with you, others shared with you, but you hear these things, and yet there's a time of invitation, and you know the Spirit of God does not return void, and the Word of God does not return void, and that when that happens, week after week after week, your heart's broken as they never come and repent. They never come and call upon God to help them and to forgive them of their sin, to help them with their problems. I was like, Lord, please don't do that to me. But when I took that spiritual gifts analysis again, is the way in the providence and sovereignty of God was, is like preaching and teaching and helps is some of the areas of administration that were showing up as spiritual gifts. And so with that, if I had been disobedient, I would have been in rebellion and sin against God. And so I had to pray later like the Lord Jesus was, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. After he had taken me to the woodshed. But being honest and transparent about that, folks, is, you know, sometimes we're locked out about any of these gifts or our service and using those gifts. Is the first thing, Lord, just use somebody else, not me. But if the Lord is putting that on your heart and he's given you the gift, He's given you the health. He's given a calling to you to do that. Then it's up to you to be the one to do that. And you can say, well, I don't know how to do it. He'll equip you. He'll also bring people alongside of you to help you. And so as Paul begins to describe these things, he talks about the manifestations are for the profit of all. You see, the Corinthians had this idea. They were looking at things like they kind of valued, and some theologians would say, well, you got sign gifts, servant gifts, and there's another category too they throw in there too of the healings and stuff. And so with that, they say, you know, it's like one's almost rated higher than the other. It's like sin. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And as far as the gifts, they're equal in the eyes of God, as every one of us are needed and necessary in service to the Lord. And so as Paul is challenging us here, he's telling us, first of all, that every gift is for the profit of the body, not for ourselves. And when he talks about the word of wisdom, what he's talking about here is a prophet. A New Testament prophet was someone who had the Spirit of God speaking to them, and then they were relaying that message almost like an apostle, except they had not seen Jesus. And so there were New Testament prophets that were proclaiming through the Spirit the word of God to people that did not have it and did not know what to do to be obedient to the Lord. Now, we already know that the positions of apostles and very probably prophets may have gone away at the point of the early church. It was needed at that time. Now, I still believe the Lord's same yesterday, today, and forever. And so with that, I'll let him decide if that's the case. But here's the thing, too, is he talks about here next, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And I want to tell you, I hear a lot of my Pentecostal brothers when they talk about prayer times, I got a word of knowledge. It's like somebody's got a backache, or somebody's got this ache, or someone's got something else going on. I'm not saying those things can't happen, but a word of knowledge according to the Scripture, what he's talking about is pastors, teachers, someone who has an understanding of the word and can convey that word so there can be understanding and health and growth and edification of the body of believers. The other was for the edification and the encouragement and strengthening of the body through the prophets. But for the pastor, teacher, so that the word of God, the teaching of God's word can go forward and be proclaimed, people can come to faith and then they can be made disciples and they can reproduce to make disciples through the preaching and teaching of God's word. So there's two different things, and it's nothing to do necessarily about physical healing. It's certainly about spiritual healing and growth. But he says to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, I hope I wouldn't have to tell you what faith is about. But the sad part is, I've gotten to know a lot of Christians. And you know, and Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. But you know, I can recall when we were talking about moving forward with the building. And this is an easy example because you can see it. As we were talking about that, I had people say, well, we don't have professional workers. We don't have people make a lot of money. We don't have people have this. We don't have that. But what we said was, if the Lord is calling us to this, he will provide all that's needed. And we'll trust him with that. And if it's his will, it will be done. And so, listen, when you look at that total bill of over $2 million in a church this size, I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, only you could do this. Do y'all realize over the last 7 years, this church has given over $1 million towards a facility out here to be able to minister the gospel through? And with that, God gets the glory. But at the same time, it's by faith. You have to trust God to have faith. They'll tell you, as we went to Utah, how many times we talked with Larry and his leaders. They're looking at the same thing as the cost and how small they are and how big the cost is. Well, we serve a bigger God. And there's a lot of Christian believers out there that want to help pour into the kingdom that can and will give and come alongside and serve if you'll just trust God. When you're in a ministry and you're struggling along and trying to figure it out, quit trying to figure it out and turn it over to God. Just have faith. If he's called you to do it, he's going to provide. Amen? There's a Trinidadian pastor that we got to know years ago. He's in heaven with the Lord now. The Lord called him to build a seminary in Barbados for Trinidadians and Barbadians. And so it's predominantly Hindus and Muslims. He tried for a long time to the point he got an ulcer. And at that point, he finally said, Lord, you've called me to do this. I can't do it. But whatever you want done, it'll happen when you want it to happen and the way you want it to happen. And I'm just going to wait on you and trust you, and I'll quit trying to do it myself. And it happened. And so there's a seminary there. You know, it's a matter of being able to trust God for who he is to do what he says he'll do. Now, let me just say this too. We used to sing a song at Forestville. It's an old spiritual. And it says, he may not be there when you want him, but he'll be there right on time because he's an on-time God. You see, our problem is we want it on our time schedule and we don't trust God by faith for it to happen according to his will and his timing. And that's what you have to do. And so with that, he talks about the gift of faith. He talks about the gift of healing. Do you understand that? Is that we talked about with Paul earlier, by the same spirit, and to the other, the working of miracles. You know, we taught and helped plant churches right there in the area where Paul was preaching one night, and a young man fell out the window and died. Now, I know I bore some of you to death, and I put some of you to sleep. One of them's outside right now. He's not here right now. But with that, so far, I've not had any fall out the window and die. Now, I pray that don't happen. Because here's the thing. Paul went and laid on him and prayed over him, and the Lord revived him. And you want to tell me that with the gift of healing, that didn't draw people's attention? But that was one of the ways that God worked in that time period to point people to himself and draw people to himself. But he's given that ability to be able to heal. And it's through the Spirit and the power of God. And the other says the working of miracles, as we talked about. And then another's prophecy. You know, when it talks about prophecy, it basically means to proclaim the message of God. Another way this is often listed is evangelists. We have the gift of evangelism. Now, every one of us that are followers of God have been called to proclaim the message of God. So we should be evangelizing and we should be evangelists. Now, let me just say this. What he's talking about here, though, is some people just have a gift from the Spirit. They can almost walk up to anybody or any group and just use an opportunity there to just see it, know it, lead into it, whatever, and begin to proclaim the message of the gospel and have people respond because they call them to response. They cast their net, but then they draw the net in, and they're gifted in those ways. There's some, when it comes time for invitation, that almost every time they give an invitation, people come flooding to the altars. And it's because a lot of times the Lord has given them a gift of evangelism. And that's a great thing. When you're having revival, you want an evangelist here. It's good to have a preacher, teacher, but you want an evangelist going to proclaim the gospel too. Because you're wanting people to not only be revived, that are believers that have turned away or not walking with the Lord where they should be, they would repent, but you also want people to come to Christ, never have heard about him or never turned to him before. And for the first time, they're challenged about who Jesus is. And so here he talks about prophecy. Now, the discerning of spirits was certainly necessary early in the Christian church because they didn't all have the word in the way that we have it in America today. Let me just say, too, though, that discerning spirit is this. You know how sometimes you meet somebody and you can't really, it seems like they're a good person, maybe good morally, ethically, whatever, but you're not fully sure, but there's something there just kind of leads you to understand this person is my brother or sister in Christ. And then you get to ask and you discern that through the fruits of the Spirit being born out. It's already been shown to you in some way. And so you have that gift of discernment, that gift of discerning the spirits. But not only the Spirit of God, but also discern this person is a person who's evil. And I want to tell you this, is for those who have the gift of discernment, you don't pray for that gift. You don't pray for any of them. Because it says here in just a moment that the Spirit gives as he wills. So praying for it's not the big thing. But if you have that, you need to pray that the Lord also give you some matter of compassion or mercy. Because you see and know a lot of things a lot of times that other people don't, and it's hard to deal with. It's because you see black and white, you don't see gray. And so to another interpretation of tongues. And the speaking of tongues, or different kinds of tongues. Let me just say this. As we were there in Central Asia, we had families that come in that it's like when it's one of the harder languages to learn, but in a short time, they were speaking it, and they were into the language and very fluent in it, very good with it. And he gave them understanding of that. I wish I was one of those people. Through hard study and a long period of time, it got better, but it never got great. But here's the thing. What he's talking to here, though, also is whether it's those languages like that, or whether it's in tongues and people are speaking in tongues. Let me just clarify something for you as we're talking about that. Is when people are speaking in tongues and there's not interpretation for the edification of the body, it's not of God, period. Because the scriptures make it clear even the tongues. And Paul's really going to rail on them over here in just a little bit about tongues and say it's the least of the gifts. And what he means by this is still not more important than others. But some people use that as a way of pride or puffing themselves up in a way, and it becomes all about them. And again, we said it's not about us. And so he's challenged us here too. And in closing, we see too that we've experienced the same baptism. What a day to be talking about that too with young Jeremy having been baptized today. What a blessing. The same baptism that we receive though is not necessarily that water baptism that we're talking about. It is that to a point, but the primary was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. What he's talking about there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the moment that we believe by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all, and that he died for our sins, and that he went to the tomb and rose from the tomb to ascend to heaven, defeating death and hell, and that he has drawn us to himself, and we believe that in our heart, confess it with our mouths, at that moment the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. That's what he's talking about here. Now, there are those who say that you have to have a second filling because they're talking about the tongues over here and everything and all this stuff. Let me just say this. The filling is different from the baptism. The baptism happens one time to all who are followers of Christ. The filling should happen every single day, because every day all of us are battling between that flesh and that spirit. And whichever we give into, that's what we're going to follow. Whether we give into the Spirit, we're going to follow the Spirit. And so we receive that filling. But when we rebel against God and we sin, we follow the way of the flesh and sin. And we live in this carnality of sin in the world, just like what he's speaking to the Corinthian church about. And he's saying, be filled by the Spirit. And what the baptism means is that we belong to Christ. And Christ is in us. But what the filling means is we are surrendering ourselves and being filled by the Lord every single day as we continue to follow him. The evidence and the fruits of the Spirit give testimony to those that they actually are ones who are joyful. They are proclaiming the message of the gospel. They are witnesses for Christ. And the fruits of the Spirit, as we read in Galatians there, make it very clear to us is that we should have joy, whether we're Jew or Gentile, male or female, black or white or red or green. We should love all people, all races, because of the love of Christ that's in us. And folks, I want to tell you, as we're talking about those gifts there, every one of us here have those. And as we're talking about coming up on time for ministry fair, every one of us who have joined here together in a covenant relationship have said basically, I will use those gifts and talents and abilities that the Lord's given me to honor and glorify him as we come together and serve him together. And so there's a place and a need for every one of us, as we're going to hear even more about next Sunday. Everyone here is needed in ministry. Every one of us here should have a desire to want to serve him in faithful obedience as well. You may need to begin to pray now about where God is calling you to and what he's calling you to do in serving him. It's not always easy, the ministries he calls us to. Generally, it's not. Generally, it's an overwhelming thing, saying, I can't do this. I can't accomplish this. You can't. He can through you if you'll make yourself available. Where are you today in that walk? Are you being filled with the Spirit daily, or are you walking in carnality in sin? This altar is open, and we can come and confess that sin and receive that forgiveness that only Christ can forgive us. For those that are here today, maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. That forgiveness is available for all. If you just say, Lord, would you save me and commit your life to him? He will save you today. I'd love to talk to you about that. If that's something you've never done before, today can be a day to change your life for eternity. And it can change the lives of others around you through the commitment you make to Christ or whether you reject him. He is real. Heaven's real. hell's real. And once we leave this world, there's no other opportunity. Today is a day of salvation. Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for your word, for the challenge today, Lord, as we're hearing even about the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we serve one Lord, one Savior. Lord, we just pray now, Lord, that we would be united together, even in the diversity of the gifts that you've given us. Lord, if there's someone here, Lord, who's not walking with you in faithful obedience, today would be a day of repentance and forgiveness. Lord, a day of restoration and victory. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the one that's maybe here has never trusted you as Lord and Savior, knows who you are, but does not know you as Lord and Savior. Today would be the day of salvation. Lord, would you do what only you can do today as you draw people to yourselves? Lord, would we respond in faithful obedience? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand?